Sunday, July 24, 1994. A lightning storm moving through north central Washington ignited a number of small forest fires. Fires that would later explode into what is now referred to as Firestorm 94. For more than 30 days, these fires would ravage the forest, threaten human and wildlife, destroy property, structures, and personal belongings. Firestorm 94 would scorch more than 135,000 acres and run up a tab of more than $71 million in suppression costs. More than 8,000 personnel were involved in fighting the fire. KLZI Radio began coverage of Firestorm 94 as the first lightning strikes were reported. As the event expanded, so did our reporting. During the height of the fires, KLZI staff and volunteers would provide 24-hour-a-day fire coverage for a period of more than 14 straight days and nights. This obviously taxed a small market radio staff of just 10 full-time employees. Without the help of former employees and other volunteers, the task of covering this event would have been overwhelming. What you are about to hear is a highly edited glimpse of Firestorm 94, mere minutes taken from hundreds of hours of reporting, a story that continues to unfold even today, as economic recovery takes place and rehabilitation of the forests continue. Firestorm 94.
I'm online now with Rufus Woods of the Wenatchee World. You people in the special edition was just phenomenal, Rufus.
Well, thank you very much, and I'll trade compliments with you. Your coverage of this entire event has been exemplary. It's been the highest journalistic tradition. And we just are highly impressed. And I know a lot of folks down here in Wenatchee are tuning into KOZI because they're getting the best information. KOZI and I really hope that people up there appreciate it, because you are as fine a radio station as you will find anywhere. You have what I've been hearing here, and I concur with completely, is that you are to these fires what CNN was to the Gulf War.
As of 1800 last night, the acreage involved was listed at 105,960 acres. The estimated containment was 55%.
You know, and I think it would be fair to have people do everything they can do to help us protect their structures. But I think it's important to get your valuables and be ready to leave in case the situation further deteriorates.
It's, when I say making major runs, it's into Slash, and it's running to the top of the ridge, and it's really putting cones up in the air that people can see.
We know things are heating up a bit. We know that some of the cats and 20 blades, I think it was the number that was mentioned, will be working ultimately before it's over in the 25 Mile Creek drainage, reopening all of those fire lines.
Contrary to the reports we heard earlier that the fire had not taken the Bible camp that's up there at Camas Meadows, nor any of the homes that ring it, we do find out now, though, that it's been determined that that area is indefensible, and they're asking everybody to, at that point in time, we're asking the Griffiths to leave right then immediately.
First priority of dock evacuation will be fire situations. The Harbor Patrol, Seattle Harbor Patrol boat and Forest Service boats will evacuate those hot fire situations, as those are both metal boats. If structural protection engines, strike teams are caught in severe fire situations, their safety zones are the same as for private residents. Fields Point first, second and third are Cova states.
The but I also knew that the firefighters couldn't fight the fire up Downey Canyon, because there's only one way up and one way down, and if they tried, they would be trapped up there. I was pretty sure of that, so I knew that whatever we could do had already been done, and that there was nothing else to do. And when we left, we just, you know, looked back and didn't know if we'd see it again. And my daughter took a little wooden cross and hung it on the doorknob and said, this will protect the house.
Listening tonight, though, my biggest concern is if my house goes, it goes, as long as they keep the firemen safe. My house is not as important as the lives of the firemen.
And again, you may even be able to hear the wind here, Ray. It has picked up significantly, and now a big glow. And as I talked about, you can see, and this is the first time tonight, that we have been able to see flames here atop Chelan Butte.
We're talking 63 strike teams with three engines each. That's 189 engines total. Those are structure teams only to protect homes.
As I arrived on the scene, Steve, we saw them, and they were beginning to string their hose. This was probably a half hour ago. Talked to some of the homeowners in the area first. We knew them as neighbors here a couple of years back when we lived up here. They had seen some pretty spectacular things happening. They see it coming closer.
just jumped over when they were making the cat line this morning, and it just jumped over.
Wow.
And it had been sitting there smoldering, and nobody realized it was there, and all of a sudden it exploded. And these guys come running in. But I'm going to tell you something, Jerry. I have never seen it takes your breath away.
It was like a war zone out here with the helicopters and stuff going. But
have you been there the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Best job of getting a parking spot I've ever been able to do in Leavenworth. So it was real easy today. But again, no panic there at all. They are bracing themselves, as we all are, and taking necessary precautions, but nobody's in a state of panic.
Chelan County Sheriff's Office is confirming that the folks of Leavenworth have now been asked to prepare for evacuation, the same sorts of things that they've done here on the
And I got the Don Roundies, and the police blocked me. They had the road absolutely blocked. Said, you cannot go up that road. I said, my wife's up there a quarter of a mile. And I could see the fire had jumped the ante at. In that time, 25 minutes, it traveled 2.5 miles down the river. They said it's traveling. They said it's a firestorm. He said it's traveled anywhere from 50 to 200 miles an hour. It is now burning Grant Roundy's house and Edna's house, my aunt, that's been there for 99 years this year, was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes. Believe my eyes. But anyhow, they forced me to turn around and go back down the road, which I did. And I went down 3 miles to where I got the gas. And pretty soon, here come my wife. And that was the best sight I ever saw.
What did she have to say about that experience?
And my cousin got her out of the house. She was packing clothes and things in the house by herself and the dog.
Right.
The house was on fire on the back porch, and she didn't know it. But she heard this roar. Grant opened the door and says, get out of there. She got out. She went back to get the dog. She didn't get her purse. And everything that she had packed, she just went out the door. And by that time, there was fire around her feet. They got in Grant's vehicle, and down the road they went. And they had to run for their life. The police ran for their life.
What was left of your home? Well, where it is? I mean, there's I know, nothing. But how do you describe it?
There's nothing left. Nothing at all.
Firebox, I think, of a cook stove or something. And
well, you can see where the computer was at. We found one of the file cabinets that I neglected to take. I neglected to take all the file cabinets. We were able to find one. It's just full of white ash. And it was a fireproof box. But they're not heat-proof. They're fireproof.
And the house is gone, and the two sheds are gone. And his garage is totally gone. And when I say totally gone, it's not what you'd think. It's not like it's not there. It's you have everything left that was metal that didn't burn. And so in his case, in my case, since we had metal roofs, what's sitting on top of this heap of rubble is basically the roof.
Well, we came back on Saturday. And
what did you find then?
Oh, well, it was just wonderful. We saw our house. That was just really a wonderful sight. We came into this sea of black up here, and all the houses are still standing, and all our neighbors' houses, and it was just really great.
His home should have never been saved, but it was. It was 100% saved, but all of the big trees and everything around it, of course, it burnt time.
We were blessed with several really outstanding teams. We had another team that were down at the old farmhouse where Chris Emel lives and where we currently live that saved those structures 4 times.
Fire made to run at them and numbers of times. And
yeah, and they were fabulous. And
hello, Governor Lowry. How are you today?
Great, great.
You apparently are en route again to North Central Washington.
Well, we've left Antioch and on our way on up to the Leavenworth area. These heroic firefighters are doing one heck of a job, and the cooperation between all the units has been great. I want to thank you, the media, and particular you have really been helpful in getting the information out to people.
We were looking for and couldn't find any black ribbon to put on our mirrors for the firefighter who died a couple days ago.
So you're after some black ribbon?
Yeah.
And that would be a way to, as a tribute to the firefighter that died of a heart attack in Navarre Coulee, the area that you were assigned to just acknowledge that.
We thought that'd be nice.
We have some flags in the community, by the way, that are flying at half staff.
That's where we got the idea from.
Okay.
A thank you poem to the firefighters.
Beautiful face without a name.
The fire monster came. Oh, what a fright. We listened to KOZI both day and night. The fire trucks came and sat in our yard. We had to leave our new home, and oh boy, that was hard. We watched the fire eat up our trees.
It's been reported to us that a Jet Ranger 206 helicopter assigned to the Crick Fire Complex was forced to make a hard landing in a grassy field in the first creek drainage this morning.
The skid broke through the dirt. And it kicked us up into the air again, and we went airborne for a little ways, and then we impacted kind of on a fair, you know, fairly sloping hillside, and we impacted on the right skid and slid to the right. And as we were doing that, the pilot was yelling at me, hang on, we're probably going to roll, or we were going to roll. And, you know, I came forward and hit the stops on the inertia reel on the seatbelt.
Blasting will begin in the fire suppression effort in the 25 Mile Creek drainage around noon. So be ready for that in the next 20 minutes or so.
Away from the area where the prime accord explosions you're hearing are taking place, how many more of these do you suspicion that there'll be before that project gets completed? How long is the prime accord? How long do they stretch it as they're blowing a section?
We're going to continue to do shots throughout the morning and probably early into the afternoon. And we'll continue with that process as needed until we tie into Lake Chelan.
That really bounced us in our chair. We were sitting there looking out at the smoky lake, and all of a sudden, wham! Really, really powerful. That stuff.
And I was just putting the bolt through the cable on the positive side, and you know, sometimes they spark a little.
Yeah.
When that last one went off. Now, I don't know where the bolt is. I have no idea.
The Red Cross and to the Hispanic community on an interpretation of this situation for the non-English Hispanic-speaking listeners in our community. And if you would, please, you're on the air.
Buenos días. Este es un anuncio acerca de la situación que está pasando aquí en Chelan con el fuego, el incendio forestal.
Mutual News. 5,000 residents of two towns in the state of Washington have been told to be ready for possible evacuation. Winds are said to be picking up in the vicinity of a large and dangerous wildfire.
Lynchland Community Hospital. Jim, we understand from Terry Adams up there at the hospital that emotional support teams have been put together for firefighters, for a support crew, also for other folks, for evacuees who have been traumatized by this fire.
The kids here at the shelter are actually look really good. They're kind of just, you know, everyone's so nice to them and giving them food and all kinds of things. So it's kind of exciting for them and that they've been evacuated. But again, when all this is over and they go back and have to deal with what's happened to their homes, it will be really hard, I'm sure.
In some places, there's trees that are totally untouched, and it was kind of neat, you know, listening to the birds sing and knowing that things are going to come back.
One of the things that keeps stress down is to have facts and not rumors. And I see that Cozy's doing an excellent job of providing the facts. And another thing is to keep your sense of humor. And I think that folks are really able to laugh at the ridiculous, too, right now. And also is to recognize what your immediate supports are.
You guys have been giving us a really good lesson in geography, topography, and firefighting.
Your information has kept us from being real scared because, you know, we could see things happening, but by knowing what was happening and the reports and stuff coming in has helped us immensely. And I wouldn't know what to do without Cozy.
We've had your station on continuously ever since this has started, and it's just amazing. I think you ought to get some sleep one of these days.
I plan on it. Thank you, sir.
We really appreciate Cozy because Cozy has done so much to help ease everybody's minds.
You truly became our community's lifeline. We are grateful. Thank you. And God bless everyone in this wonderful community.
I'm overwhelmed with the cooperation in this community, interagency-wise, citizens with people and so on in this radio station, and I think I speak for lots and lots of people. We are most grateful.
Thank you for the kind words.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joyce. Line Mayor Joyce Stewart.
One of the things that we geared up for right away is public information.
And I should commend Cozy. Cozy has done an excellent job.
I'm manager of this operations here for the Red Cross. I want to say I've never been in a town that has supported something like this one has. I frankly get emotional when I talk about it. The Cozy and the people in this town are wonderful.
We've gotten more support than CNN was to the Gulf War. And you should all be very proud of yourselves. I hope the community appreciates the level of professionalism. And if you guys don't win major state and maybe even national awards, it'll be criminal.